It's going to be a little more of an encouraging message than it would be teaching. I can teach the Bible. I can go line by line and teach you Hebrew and Greek or whatever else we need to learn out of it to really get the gist of something. But this morning I want to show you something that God has given you, and that's why I titled it The Believer's Benefits. It is something that God has put into your life and by faith in Jesus that we need to understand and be able to get hold of. And I hope this encourages you to do just that. So let's start with some prayer. Father, we are, as always, grateful to be in your presence. We're thankful for your presence, your power. We're thankful for your love, your grace. We thank you for your anointing upon each one of us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of grace, and the love that you have bestowed onto us through that. Father, we thank you that, Father, your hand is upon us, putting into us and on us probably more than we even understand. And Father, I pray that this morning, as we get into your word, as we listen to some stories, that Father, we get a better understanding of who you are and what you've given unto us. And by that we will then live out the life that glorifies you. So it all comes back to you, Father. We're trusting you this morning. Thank you for opening your scriptures, opening our hearts and our minds to receive and believe and to allow you to do a work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. So I want to share this morning about basically some of the benefits, some of the things that have come into our life. I think they are, I call them special provisions, things that have been provided for us that are given to the Christian believer that I'm convinced that if we fully understand what has been given to us, that we can then live in it, okay? And it's going to increase our fervency in our walk with God, okay? Sometimes we need those little refreshing moments, okay? Walking with God is just like everything else, okay? Yes, he's put his seed in our heart and Jesus is in us, but at times it seems like it doesn't have that same fervency. So I want to talk about that in particular, that fervency. Your passion for God is something that is critical throughout the life of the believer. Okay, for however long you've been a Christian and however long you're going to be, before the Lord comes back or we go to be with him, okay, we need a fervency, a passion, something that burns inside of us that keeps us going. Okay, now many of you know that we have been, and after I just shared, we have been studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights. Okay, and part of that, it seems like every week we are reminded that there are days ahead, okay, when a weak faith, okay, or kind of a lackadaisical walk with God, or maybe a little bit complacent or not really fervent, that kind of a relationship with Jesus is simply not going to be solid enough to help us endure all the way to the end. I've said many times, I want to be that guy, okay, at the very end that's still standing. That's my goal, okay, with the end times. Now, we have learned on Wednesdays about things like the mark of the beast. Okay, that's something that those which are weak in the faith are going to be deceived. Okay, and they're going to give in, and by doing so, they end up giving their life over to Satan. Okay, and spending eternity with him in hell instead of heaven with God. Okay, that's that decisions, the kind of choices and things that are going to be made, and our passion is what is going to help keep us on the right side of things. Okay, so it's that passion that I want to kind of aim at for a while this morning as we get started. Okay, that passion that I had, I know, in the early days of my walk, okay, is what set me in the right direction. It's what put things in motion for me to stay on the right side. Okay, temptation or, you know, the devil can throw stuff and I'm able to see it a lot quicker than not because of what I was taught early on, because somebody shared with me some of the things that I want to share with you today. Okay, when I think about the first few days of my walk, the first few months, even the first few years, okay, after I gave my life to Christ, they were filled with the miraculous. And even today, I see the miraculous all the time because of the way that I learned growing up as a young believer that those things were possible and even to be expected. Okay, as a young believer, I call it being raised right. Okay, I was taught about this stuff. I was taught about the powerful gift. I was taught something happened when I received Jesus and the Holy Spirit and his power, and it came on me, and that from that, my life was never going to be the same, and it should never be mediocre. Okay, it was going to be different. It was going to be exciting. Okay, the transformation in my life caused something deep down inside of me to know that I was different than I was before. Something happened. Okay, now I was, 24 years old, 25 almost when that happened. So someone that has grown up in the church maybe has a little different relationship, but yet they're still, like my boys are growing up in the church, but they're still learning that same passion. They're still learning about the power of God and the same things. So I'm not saying you have to have a moment where you had a before and after. My kids have that as a young man, but they're growing up in Christ, so it's a little bit different. But that transformation in my life showed me that something was different. Okay, for the first time in my life, I could pray with expectation that it was actually going to be received. Okay, I had prayed the prayers. I went to a religious church growing up, and I had prayed through prayers and repeated them over and over again, did some of that stuff, never once expecting what I was saying to literally come to pass. But as a born-again believer, when something changed on the inside, now I knew that I could pray and actually see and expect things to happen and even receive it right then and there, saying, I thank you, Lord, that this is being provided or that this is taken care of. Okay, now I, as a young man, sought understanding, and I still do this, to seek understanding about a situation that I have no possible way of knowing what the solution is or what the answer is, or I don't even know anything really about it. I just know that I'm supposed to ask about it and seek it. And through the Holy Spirit and the words of wisdom or a word of knowledge or just some revelation that he gives, I can know things by the Spirit. He enables me to know things that I had no literal way of knowing apart from an act of God. Okay, and those are the kind of moments. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. You know, when I ran into a friend one time on a hiking trail up in the mountains, he had gone up and I had gone up. You know, I was by myself. He was with a crew of people. And I ran into him on the mountain on the side of a trail. And I found out that he had been hit in the eye with a basketball. Okay, I mean hard. Got really clocked in the eye. His eye was all swollen shut. He couldn't see out of it. He would peel his eyelid out. And he says, brother, there's something wrong. Something maybe retina detached or whatever. But he said something was wrong with my eye and he couldn't see through it. Okay, at that moment, my first response wasn't, wow, we should get you to a doctor. My first response was, brother, we should lay hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ and pray for your eye. And he said, let's do it. Okay, and we did. And by the time we got down the mountain, his eye was 100% completely healed. Okay, open eye, seeing, just normal. Okay, and that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, that early on in my walk, and even to this day because of those experiences, early on in my walk, I was taught about the fullness of God's power. Okay, that not just is he powerful, not just can he do stuff, but that he is willing to do it for me. Okay, he's willing to work in my life and work through my life to help other people. Okay, so that is part of that. So this morning, I would like to encourage you to walk in the anointing that God has given. Okay, to walk in that power, to walk in the love and the grace and all the things that he has given us. Because I know that when you accepted Jesus as your Christ, something happened. Okay, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, accepted the Spirit, there's something happened in your heart. Okay, now I can say that you have a favor with God that exceeds your wildest imaginations. Okay, it is beyond what we could probably try to comprehend with our brain, but in the Spirit I can know that I know that God has given these things to us. Okay, you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Do you know that? Okay, do you know that God has done something in you that is special? You're not the same as somebody who has never put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, you are more than a conqueror through Christ, right? You are his prized creation. Okay, you were made in his image. Okay, you were made in a wonderful image, a glorious image of God. And then you've been anointed by him to be victorious. Okay, you've been anointed by God to conquer giants. Okay, you've been anointed by God to to stand up to evil. Okay? You've been anointed by God to be a blessing to every person that you come in contact with. Okay? That is something special that has happened in your life. Okay? What you now have in your life is a free gift from God Himself. Okay, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you believe, Lord, yes, I believe, I trust in you. Okay, you put your faith in His Son, and now this powerful gift has been bestowed upon you. It was handed to you. And now it's up to you to understand what you have in your hand, what has been given to you. I had an experience a few years ago. I went elk hunting up in the mountains with a friend. And we found out pretty quickly that just having a fancy GPS that'll tell you how to get back to your truck doesn't do you any good if you don't know how to use that fancy GPS to get back to your truck. Okay, and I kid you not, we're carrying a quarter of an elk on our back each. Okay, we only got half the first trip out, and we spent an extra, couple hours wandering in the mountains trying to find the truck because we didn't know how to use what was in our hand. Okay, and so because of that, it reminds me that we should get to know what God has given us. Okay, why wander around aimlessly or wander around with a heavy burden on your back for 2 hours when you don't need to if you could just figure out what God has given you and then utilize that? Okay, that's fervently seeking to know what you now have access to. Okay, Jesus said that He gave you access to the throne. Okay, that's pretty good stuff. I want to know what that is. Okay, so how many of you guys have heard of a guy in the Bible? His name is David. Okay. I think a few hands went up. Okay. So a guy named David, he wrote a lot of the Psalms and things that we read. Okay, he has lots of stories that are written about him. He is mentioned in the New Testament several times because he was an influential guy in the Bible. Okay, well, David was a man that truly knew who God was. Okay, he understood the benefits that God had given to him as a believer. Okay, he understood the blessings that came into his life by putting his complete trust in God. Okay, now that I have a definition for you this morning, the definition of a blessing. Okay, when I'm talking about God blessing you, a blessing is spiritual and material benefits given by God to be enjoyed. Okay, now think of that. Spiritual and material benefits that are given to you by God for your enjoyment, for you to enjoy. How many people could use a little more enjoyment in your life? I know I could. I love to enjoy life, to live it to the fullest. I need to know what these blessings are that God has given me. Okay, in the Bible, the Christian believer, okay, somebody like you and me, somebody that put their trust in Jesus, we are referred to as kings and priests in the Bible more than once. One of David's psalms sums up nicely a prophecy of what is to be expected in the lives of the kings. And I want to read this to you. It's in Psalm 21, and I'll start with verse 1. David said, this is what's out there for the king, okay? If you're a queen, say I'm a queen, right? Okay, that's fine. Okay. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and has not withholden the request of his lips. Then it says what? Selah. Anybody know what Selah means? Pause and think on these things. Okay, so what did we just read? Verse 2. Thou hast given the king his heart's desire and has not withholden the request of his lips. Okay, that makes it pretty. When it says Selah, I stop and ponder on it. What does that mean? It means that I am speaking out my heart's desire to God and God is not withholding the answer. God is wanting to bless me as one of the kings of God. Okay, verse 3 goes on and it says, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. I'll explain that in a minute. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever, and hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercies of the Most High he shall not be moved. Okay, now verse 3 that we read said in Psalm 21:3, it says, For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. That's kind of King James-y language, and I want to explain that. That verse literally means, for you send blessings of good things to meet him. Okay, now as a child of God, think of this. God is sending good and awesome things to meet you wherever you're at. Okay, so when you came into the church, you can expect good things. Okay, when you go to work, you can expect good things. Okay, when you walk into any situation in life, okay, you're trying to stay on the right side of things, so keep that in mind. But you're walking into situations and you can expect good things that are coming your way. Because God sends good things to the kings and queens of God, right? Okay, that's his provision for you. Okay, in another place, David says this in Psalm 103, verse 1. David said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay, benefits. Okay, listen to the language of David as he describes our God. Okay, he is excited about his relationship with God. Psalm 116, verse 1, David says literally, I love the Lord. How many of you guys love the Lord? Okay, I love the Lord. Okay, he's got some good benefits, right? David says, I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now at one point he says, in verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, but then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Okay? Been through some stuff. Okay? But he remembered his Lord. Okay? And throughout his writing, I understand David as someone that knows his God. Okay? He knew who God was. David knew who God was, and God made David to be who he was. And I love this part of Emily's message. I got to give her credit for that, because she had a part in her message last Sunday. We listened to it Sunday night on our way back from Cody. But as I listened to it, she told about the conversation between Jesus and Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples and says, Whom do men say that I am? And Peter pipes up quickly and answers it right, and he says, Thou art the Christ, okay, the Son of God, the Christ. Then Jesus says to Peter, You're right. And then he tells Peter who he is. Okay, he says, You art the, what did he say? You're the rock upon whom I will build this church. Okay, the point is that when you know who God is, then God will show you who you are. Okay? When you know, I'm going to say that again, it's a good point. Emily said it twice, I think. When you know who God is, then God can show you who you are. Get to know God. Spend time in His Word. Listen. Seek Him. Okay? David was a guy that knew God. And he knew what was important to God. Okay? That's important, to know what's important to God. Okay? God's ways and man's ways do not always line up. You know, we know that Isaiah and others pointed out God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Okay, God has a plan. And if we go through life thinking like humans, we're going to miss out on some blessings, some opportunities, or maybe even get ourselves into trouble at times. But when we connect with God by standing His Word and worshiping Him, spend time with Him in church and people that love and serve God, as we do that, we learn to think more like God. So when a situation comes up, I don't say, let's run to the doctor. I say, let's run to Jesus. Okay, that's thinking like God thinks. Okay, that's thinking on a higher plane. It's putting things in a matter of, you know what, I'm not going to deal with this the way the carnal world deals with it, because that's what we do. All of us have that struggle where the carnality, if we live too much in the world, we spend too much time with worldly stuff and worldly people and whatever, a situation comes up, and how do we handle it? Worldly. Right, with our flesh. It's right there. It's ready to try to solve that problem, try to fix it on our own, try to do whatever. But if you're spending time in God's Word and you let that emanate through you, when things come up, you hear in the Spirit and you know better what to do. And you make decisions that are based on the Spirit of God instead of based on your flesh. So it is our goal to understand God's higher ways, okay, to understand His thoughts. David was a man that figured that out. Okay, so often in the Psalms of David, you hear him crying out to God for God not to forget his own pattern of behavior. Okay, now stay with me, because God doesn't forget what he does and doesn't forget what he said. But David often would gently remind God. He was confident enough in his relationship with God that God wasn't going to squash him like a bug for doing it. But he would remind God about something that he had done or something that he had said. Okay, he would ask God things like, he would remind God to forget not the poor. Okay, and another place David said, forget not the humble. Okay, in other words, Lord, I know that you've blessed the humble. Your word says you bless the humble. So forget not the humble. In other words, he's kind of calling back God to something that God had done in the past. Okay, he asked God to recall and remember things that he had said and done on behalf of his chosen children in the past, because David knew that when God sets a precedence of blessing a particular group or person or whoever, that he would be willing to do it again. Okay, David knew that his loving God would not reject him for bringing that kind of stuff to him. Okay, he wasn't praying the problem. He's just saying, God, remember the humble. Right? Okay, remember the poor, right? And he's just calling on God to remember him and remember things that he had done and that God had done in the past. Okay, I noticed in David's writing that he figured out something about God. Okay, he figured out that God doesn't want his precious people to be scoffed at by unbelievers. Okay, he doesn't want you to be scoffed at by the enemies of God. Okay? And God will take precious care to make sure that that doesn't happen. So David would remind God that he didn't want the heathen to look at him and wonder where his God is. And he would remind God that, God, they are starting to say, where is thy God? And he would put those things out there for God. Now, I think you got to have a pretty good relationship with God to approach God like that. All of us do. We have Jesus. That's enough for us to approach him. But he reminded God that the enemies were starting to look down on his people. Your chosen people, they are starting to mock us and to look down at us. Now, why would David do that? Okay, David did that because he knew God, and he knew that God would, it would stir something up in God to do something great in his life. Okay, David knew that God was into glorifying his name. Okay, how many know God is a jealous God? Okay, let me say that again. You got to get that one right. How many know that God is a jealous God? Okay, he does not share his glory with anybody. So if someone is starting to put down his people, it is like they're shaming his people, and his people are going to get a bad name and all that. God does not want that, because he wants glory. Okay, so God steps in and handles things. He does something. He doesn't want his name to be tarnished. Okay, now I say this, God loves you, okay, and God loves to bless you, but I think that he will bless you just because he can, okay, on a frequent basis. We just read that his good things are coming our way, right? You step into a room and goodness is coming your way. But I think that he blesses us even more because he wants us to stand out among the heathen. He wants us to stand out among those that we encounter. He wants us to shine brightly for Him so God will bless His people. Now, you know, I've had numerous experiences over the years of times of being with unbelievers or people that were kind of weak in faith or whatever, and whatever the situation was, God would bless my hands in whatever I did. Okay, if we went hunting, I was the one that was going to get the most or whatever. You know, if we went fishing and I'm with unbelievers, I will always catch fish and they wouldn't. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that that's the favor of God. God wants you to be blessed because what are they going to remember? It's something special about that guy. They might think I know how to fish, but I don't, right? It's just God, right? It's all about Him. Okay, now let me just end this with this. What does it take to be blessed by God? Okay, what does it take to get those benefits in the natural and in the spiritual? Well, a great example in the Bible tells us that all it takes is having Jesus Christ the Lord in you. Okay? Remember a young virgin woman named Mary? Ring a bell? She's pretty famous about being the mother of our Lord Jesus, right? Well, in the beginning of her story, an angel comes to her and literally tells her this in Luke 1:28. Says, the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Hey, now, if you remember the story, the angel also told her that her cousin Elizabeth was going to be with child too, and that that was miraculous in itself, but that when she met up with Elizabeth next, it would confirm in her that she was blessed in this way. Okay, so Mary gathers a few things together. She heads to the neighboring town where her cousin lived, and she walks in, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically she says, "Hi, Elizabeth, how's it going? Just testing the water." And here's the conversation in Luke 1:41. It says, "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation or the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Okay, now my point here is this. Mary was blessed. She was highly favored of the Lord. Why? Because she had Jesus in her. Okay, to be favored means that you are promoted over another. Okay, to be highly favored means you are promoted over many. Okay, how many of you can say that Jesus is in you? Okay? Let me ask that again because that's pretty important, right? How many can say that Jesus is in you? Okay, I know that I know. Jesus is in me. You have some benefits that have been given to you. You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Okay, when you walk into a room, okay, the choice for who is going to be blessed in that room just narrowed down to one, and it's you. Okay, unless you're in a room with the rest of us believers, then God's going to bless us all. Okay, but God has enough to go around. Okay, what that means is you're doing that with other believers. God's just going to bless the whole thing, right? He's going to send His blessing and favor because it's coming to meet you wherever you are. Okay, you are highly favored of the Lord. You can walk into the room and expect the very best to happen to you. You can expect the best in your workplace or in your home or wherever you go. You go in the store, you get the best parking spaces. Okay, you get the best prices on stuff. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. Okay, I'm not sorry. That's God, right? Okay, I want to live out. These are benefits that God has given to us. Okay, you have been given some spiritual and material benefits by God for your enjoyment. Start using them. Start figuring out what the GPS actually does. Okay, start walking in that love that He's given you. Okay, you can share that with the people around you and be a huge blessing. You can let the power of the Holy Spirit manifest through your life, and you can heal your friend's eye or his leg or their emotions or whatever it is. Let the Holy Spirit do that through you. Start walking in the realm of the possible instead of seeing things as impossible. Okay, Mary's first response when the angel came to her and said, you're gonna birth the Son of God. Her first response was, you know, I don't see how that's going to be possible because I don't even know a man. But the angel turned to her and said, and I quote, with God, all things are possible. Okay, and that was the answer for that her problem. Okay, I don't think Christians are meant to live in mediocrity. Okay, God wants to bless you, and if we'll start receiving of that, I know that there are times in our walk when things are not going to be as exciting as maybe they are at other times, but when you're walking by faith in a miraculous God, there's nothing impossible. Everything just became possible. It became an unlimited possibility. Okay, so set your standards a little bit higher for your life. Okay, start reaching a little bit further and thinking, you know what, God can take me beyond my imagination. God can take me beyond my dream and be able to get it to a place where I flourish in Him. Step out in faith a little bit and see where God will take you. And I guarantee it's going to be a good place. Amen. Father, we're grateful. Father, I'm grateful to be here with your people. Father, it's awesome to be in this room. It's filled with people that all the blessings are coming right here, Lord. It's awesome to be in a place where you are so present. And Father, your power, your glory is shining in and through people as we leave this building today. Father, I pray that it happens. I pray that as we go places today and beyond this week, that it will continue to flow and to flourish, and places where we go will be blessed because we went there. People will be encouraged because we were around them. Father, that your hope and the faith that you have stirred in our hearts, Lord, will be contagious with the people that we encounter every day, Lord. Stir us up, Lord. Let us get on fire. Let us be fervent in our faith towards you. Father, from this day forward and every day, from here until you come, Lord, that we go to be with you, that we will live in a fervent place with you, a hot place where we are excited about you and what you're doing. Father, I pray that we forget not all your benefits, that we truly believe and receive all that you intended to give to us, Father. We're thankful for it this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.